Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Royals baseball today on this Friday, January the 19th, with our good friend Jeffrey Flanagan, Royals reporter for MLB.com. Jeffrey, we thank you for the time, and kind of a light week in news for the Royals, but they did make an addition to their front office, a man that's been in baseball for literally over a half century. I believe that Gene Lamont is going into year 54 in professional baseball. He has a resume that is the envy of almost anybody. But following a dozen seasons as the third base coach and bench coach of the Tigers, he's now moving into a front office role alongside Dayton Moore. What exactly, tell us what you know or how much you know about what Gene Lamont is going to be doing and the kind of role that he's going to have alongside the Royals GM.
Yeah, I always like to kid Dayton that I think he leads the league in special assistance to the general manager. Dayton's always been a guy that when you get a mind, an experienced baseball mind such as Gene Lamont is available, he's going to scoop him up, and that was the case this time with Gene, who was not retained in Detroit. And I spoke to Gene on I guess it was Monday, and he still wasn't quite sure what his role would be. He's probably going to overlook some minor league guys, maybe see some major league games too, but just kind of be an ear for Dayton Moore too, and for interesting too for Gene is kind of circling back home. He got his start managing in the Royals farm system back in their glory days in the 70s and 80s. And we had a nice chat about some of the, guys that he was managing back then, the David Cones, Mark Gubazaw, Danny Jackson, Brett Saberhagen, some of the great names in Royals history. And he got a chance to help them develop. And here he is all the way back to where he started. So, 54 years in baseball, not quite ready to hang it up, but he is. He did tell me too that he's kind of, I would say, a little bit relieved that he's not going to be back on the field anymore. He just feels it's time to turn the page, and now he'll just offer his wisdom to the front office here.
Now that's interesting you say that, because it sounds like that, like you said, with the change in managers in Detroit, going from Brad Ausmus to Ron Gardenhire, that Gene Lamont was not retained. But you're saying that even if he was, he had designs of kind of stepping away from his on-field duties. Is that kind of how it worked out?
Yeah, I think so. I think at 71, he just thought, well, it's probably time to get off the field. So he was probably looking for some type of advisory role, and this opportunity opened, and it's perfect for him.
Absolutely. And any sort of pre-existing relationship between Dayton Moore and Gene Lamont specifically, or was this kind of a cold call between, the two sides to get him on board?
I asked Gene that too, and he's good friends with Rafael Belliard, who has a relationship with the Royals now, and they used to speak with Dayton occasionally on the field when Detroit came to town, and obviously they knew each other, but they weren't really close or anything like that, and some dialogue just started to exist after Gene knew he wasn't coming back to Detroit, and Dayton made it work out, and he's happy about it, and Gene's happy about it, and here we are. The Royals have another really sharp baseball guy in the system.
And you can never have too many of those. So it sounds like a perfect fit with Gene Lamont back with the Royals organization alongside Dayton Moore in the front office. And we'll see how that relationship develops throughout the 2018 season and hopefully for both sides beyond 2018. Jeffrey, I know that last week you gave us an update on the recovery the status of Ned Yost. It seems like that he's kind of doing all the things that he was doing prior to that near-fatal fall. So it sounds like he's he's bounced back. It was just a minor hiccup in the road, a minor hurdle, and he's back to living life the way that he was accustomed to doing before he landed in the hospital. One thing I want to ask you, though, kind of a fun exercise here. You know, let's go to opening day at Kauffman Stadium, you know, whoever the Royals are playing, but the team is being introduced. And let's say, for the sake of this exercise, that the Royals do end up re-signing Eric Hosmer. So, obviously, he's going to be part of those starting lineup introductions. Who gets the bigger applause? Who gets the more raucous round of applause? Is it Ned Yost or is it Eric Hosmer?
That's a toughie because of, obviously, what happened with Ned. Yeah, yes, and you're right about Ned. He's back up in tree stands already, being the nut that he is. You know, it didn't take long. We're all worried whether he would even be available for spring training, and then he let us know that, he's going to be back for Fan Fest next week, and back up fixing tree stands in my backyard or you know on my property. So. I don't know. It's going to be close. I mean, you know, there's a big love affair, of course, with Eric Hosmer, but you know, Ned Yost brought them two pennants and a world championship. Once, maybe the most despised man in town became one of the most beloved in Ned Yost. I think for the Royals fans' sakes, they would like to see that scenario.
No question. I know Royals fans would love to scream their lungs out on opening day for not just one of them, but both of them. We'll see, you know, what happens with Eric Hosmer. This has been the most lukewarm of hot stools we've seen in quite some time. Hosmer's still out there. J.D. Martinez, Yu Darvish, Jake Arrieta. You go down the whole list. Any update at all in terms of any sort of dialogue between Hosmer and the Royals, or is it still kind of a status quo?
Yeah, I was talking to some of the Royals players about that actually this morning by phone for another story I'm doing, and they're just amazed too. I mean, you add Mike Moustakas to that list, Lorenzo Cain, Jason Vargas. It's just endless. It's been a very freaky, ice cold, hot stove off season. No real update. You know, I do know that from the people in the front office that I've talked to too that. As each day passes, and, you know, now we're less than 4 weeks out of spring training, as each day passes, they feel like there's a slightly better chance they can pull one of these their own free agents back in, maybe even two. Now, that's going to take some tricky accounting for Dayton Moore to do that because he's been adamant that he needs to trim payroll. So even if they did get a guy like Hosmer, for 15 to 18 to 20 million, whatever, he's got to take that much off the payroll. So, you know, that's still got to happen. And if you're going to add another guy to it, well, he's either got to do even more tricky accounting or go to ownership and you know, on his hands and knees and beg to, you know, let's expand the payroll a little bit. We've got an opportunity here. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't think they even envision this scenario unfolding where they'd still be, you know, here we go into the end of January and, they're still in position to possibly maybe retain a free agent or two. So should be a very curious next couple weeks, I think, because you would just think there has to be some activity going with all the names that you mentioned, too, that something's got to just, you know, break this up a little bit and get some action going.
Yeah, I mean, the dam has to break at some point. You know, who does the breaking? We don't know. But you would think at some point, you know, something does have to happen. So, from your experience in covering, you know, off seasons and free agency in years past, at what point does your average player panic and call his agent and start freaking out? Is it when the calendar turns to February? Is it when, you know, is it maybe a little closer to spring training? Like, at what point does the panic start to really set in?
You know, the guys I was talking to today have been mentioning that too, and really most players start to go to spring training around February 3rd or. And, you know, I think that's probably when players probably start calling their agent a few more times a day or texting them and go, hey, my buddies are all leaving for Arizona or Florida. Anything going on? Anything? You know, that's when I think they start to get a little bit nervous and they just don't like to be sitting around not doing anything while, you know, baseball kind of marches on. So, I would say by the beginning of February, the first week of February, these guys might take deals they might not have thought they would when free agency started. and maybe they take a one-year deal or a two-year deal or something instead of the long-term deal they were hoping. I don't know. I mean, this is kind of uncharted territory for us because I don't think we've ever had a free agency period this stalled in a long, long time with the type of big-name free agents we have on the market right now.
Yeah, I mean, usually by this point, you know, us folks in the media, we're trying to, you know, come up with projected rotations and lineups, you know, given the additions that the teams have made, but there have been no notable – there have been a couple. But for the most part, you know, we ran down all the names. There's still some huge, huge names out there, so we can't really do any projections because we don't know where these guys are going to end up. It's just crazy. Like you said, this is really unprecedented. Let me ask you to come down the home stretch here. Obviously, you know, Hosmer is the number one target. That's the guy that the team wants back. That's the primary guy the fans want back. Let's assume that he moves on somewhere else. One of the other 29 teams scoops him up. Of Vargas, Moustakas, and Kane, who do you think becomes the number one, you know, desired player to come back?
Probably Moose. I think his presence at the clubhouse is a big factor. You know, coming off a career year with 38 home runs, I think that they would love to see a guy like that come back. They do have a fill-in for him already with Chester Cuthbert, but Cuthbert could easily move somewhere else, being a DH or maybe even if he has played some first base in the past himself. So Moose to me would be the logical one. If I had to rank them, you know, maybe, and we've talked about this before, Alcides Escobar is a guy that's obviously still out there too, and I don't think there's going to be a massive market for him. So possibly he could come back kind of on the cheap as a backup shortstop alternative to Raul Mondesi, who used to be their top prospect, who's going to get the shortstop job next year. And then maybe, you know, what if Vargas would be willing to accept a one-year $7 or $8 million deal? Would you bring him back 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery? So there's still a lot of, you know, of those situations in play yet. And I'm sure the front office is doing what we're doing. They're going, what if? So as we get closer and closer to spring training, these scenarios are possibly going to come to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this entire offseason has been what if, and it's been a huge waiting game, and it's something that we have never seen, at least in recent memory. This has been a hot stove, and I use that term very loosely, unlike other hot stoves in the past. But at some point, something's got to happen. We keep hoping. We keep the fingers crossed, and maybe one of these weeks we'll have a flood of activity and moves to discuss, but that week is not this week. But Jeffrey, nonetheless, we thank you for the time and for the contributions. We'll see where it all leads. Maybe, like I said, by this time next week, something will have happened. But in the meantime, it's Matt Waymeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.